Caution. It is important that you consult a physician and a trainer or coach before you begin. You should have a medical checkup before starting any exercise program.
Coach Jeff Mercer, we're here today to talk about second base play. Heart of the diamond, middle of the infield. So much is done around the middle of the infield with regard to second or short, and we certainly can't undersell it. What we're going to try to do in this video is give each of us an opportunity to look at not only the fundamentals and techniques that are required to play second base and to learn how to practice in a perfect manner. We're also going to go through some drills that I think you'll find if you implement on a daily basis or every other day basis will help make your second baseman that outstanding fielder that you need in the heart of the defense. Okay, on our double play technique, we're going to work on our second baseman's footwork at and around the bag, the three different methods by which we try to retrieve the ball from a shortstop or a third baseman. The first one we're going to do is be the slide behind. Chop steps, tags the bag left, steps behind right, and makes the throw. Again, you can move a sock net or something up. You can do this on your own at home. You can do it at the field with a partner, whatever you'd like. Okay, the second technique we're going to use is to step across. This is our opportunity to have a little bit more time to make the play. The shortstop's got the ball, or maybe it's a throw coming from the third baseman, and we're going to be able to tag the bag and get out of the line of the runner. All right, Kurt, ready? Gets the bag, chop step, tags the bag with his left foot, comes across with the right. He's going to pinch that right knee and get a nice strong throw as he comes across. Hands up, tags left, throws right. We're going to switch and do the third and final turn for the second baseman, which is a mid-flight turn or the step behind the bag turn. Adam's going to get to the bag. He's going to take a step behind once he sees a good throw. He reads a good throw, steps behind, drags the foot and throws. This is a real quick delivery. This is an opportunity if you've got a fast base runner who just hit the ball. You don't have much time, number one. Or if you've got a slowly hit ball to the shortstop where this is the only option in terms of being able to turn a double play. Sees a good throw, steps behind with the right foot, and makes the throw. Turning the double play becomes a pitcher's best friend, and it's important that you understand as a second baseman what your options are with regard to getting the ball to the shortstop to turn the double play. We call this one our swivel. This is a ball directly at us. So Kurt, break down if you would. Kurt, from his breakdown position, fielding position, once he receives the ball, is going to swivel his feet. Swivel. He's going to drop his left knee to the ground. He's going to open his body to his shortstop, and he's going to feed him the ball slightly uphill so we can make a good strong feed. Okay, Kurt, let's go again one more time. Show me how you do it. Breakdown, swivel. Swivel and a feed. And he's got to have a little bit of arm whip. The arm's got to whip just a little bit so we get a good solid feed. Again, hit your shortstop right in the chest with it. Okay, coach, if you would, let's go ahead and feed Kurt and Adam a couple. He's charging it. Won't have to charge too much on this one. This is a six ball. This is going to be a good double play ball. Swivel. Notice how they drop the left knee to the ground. You don't have to touch the ground if you don't want to, but you'll come close. Notice how he dropped down a little bit, threw the ball slightly uphill. Okay, the second technique we're going to use is a ball that moves an infielder to his right. To his right. A ball that takes him that direction. Any ball hit to the right of Adam, he ought to be into a flip if he's got decent positioning. So we're going to take a look at Adam walking through what we would consider to be a flip. Okay, Adam, ball slightly over here. Breakdown. Call it.
Flip.
You'll notice Adam's going to tell his partner what he wants. He's going to flip the ball. That way our shortstop knows where to look for the ball as it comes up to him. Okay, normal positioning. Okay, here we go, coach. To his right, break down, Flip, and you'll notice he walks the throw right to him. Okay, Kurt, slide up here. Ball to the right.
Flip.
Flips the ball right to him, walks it right to him.
Flip.
Now your flip drill becomes pertinent. The third option, in terms of the way you have to go to field a double play, is on a ball hit to your left. We would phrase this one to be realistically a five play. And the reason that it's a five play is simply because it causes us to move a little and we're going to be a little slower to that ball. On this ball that Kurt's going to work on, he's got to take from his normal positioning a slight move to his left, 4 or 5 feet. He's got to go this way. He's going to break down. On this one, since his feet are in motion heading to the left, he's going to jump turn, get himself in position to throw. Go. Jump turn. He won't stand straight up. You'll notice how he's still bent a little bit, and he gets rid of the ball slightly uphill. So we get a good feed to the shortstop. Okay, let's do it one more time. You ready? To your left, break down, jump turn. Bang, he just changes one foot for the other. He takes the right foot, slides it behind, the left foot slides in front, stays low, throws it slightly uphill. Okay, here we go. To the left, jump turn, quick with the feet, and a nice strong feed, chest high to the shortstop. Jump turn, good. At absolute worst, we've got a force play on this one. The fourth and final method for turning a double play is one in which we're realistically looking at just getting a force out. It's a ball that takes a second baseman way to his left. He's going to field the ball, turn his back to the infield, and make a solid throw back across to the second or to the shortstop, to the second base bag. Again, we're not going to turn a double play here, chances are, unless a man falls down and he's horribly slow, but we can get a double play. Okay, Kurt, let's walk through it. He's going to start to his left. He's going to keep going. He's getting ready to field the ball, drop down, field the ball. He'll turn his back to the infield and go. Now you're going to notice him plant really hard on that right foot when he goes down. Okay, come on back over. Let's go through it one more time. Okay, ready? To your left. Field the ball, plant. Bang. Up and make a good strong throw. Okay, let's take a look at him, coach, see if we can get him done. To his left, he fields the ball. Turns his back, plants hard, makes a good strong throw. Fields the ball, plant, good strong throw. If we can get one here, we're in great shape. Two here would be a bonus. The object when holding runners on base is to keep the runner close to the bagger as close as we can, avoid allowing him to get a good jump, and yet still being able to get back to your position and field what you need to have covered. We're going to start first with our shortstop in primary coverage. All right, here we go. Pops the glove, works his feet, and bounces back into his position. Notice how the man leading off second base, when he heard the footsteps, he bounces back toward the bag. That's all you have to get him to do. When the pitcher releases the ball, we just have to have him move back. Okay, now we got a left-handed hitter up, and I want the second baseman to work primary coverage on this play. Okay, here we go. And he bounces back. Now the shortstop will just make a very small effort to hold on. Again, the second baseman's in primary coverage, the shortstop secondary, and that secondary man, we want him to hold his position just a little bit longer, a little bit more. covering second base on the steal situation. Kurt, if you would, hustle to the bag real quick, and let's take a look at how we like to cover the bag on a steal. Notice how Kurt's got the bag straddled, and he's going to receive the throw from the catcher in this fashion. The reason that we do this is that we use the bags as protection from the base runner. Also, we don't want to step forward in front of the bag. If we do that, we have a tendency to run out to the ball and get it and then try to bring it back, which is a very, very slow way of getting to the baseball. We don't want to get in front of the bag, which positions our body in such a fashion as we're liable to get run over. So we want to straddle it. Show us how we do it right. There we go, and we'll receive the throw from the catcher. Okay. Making the tag play at second base. It's important that we recognize who's supposed to take the throw. We break to the bag hard. We got a primary responsibility in terms of who's supposed to take the throw. And whoever's not the primary man, we're backed up just like we did there. If the second base is the person that's going to cover the bag, the shortstop will drop behind and help us out in the event of an overthrow. Notice the shortstop break to the bag. Nice throw, nice tag play, and the second baseman's back to help cover us. Let's discuss cutoff responsibilities and techniques. This is an area where we can really help ourselves in terms of getting rid of the ball on what inevitably is a close play at third base or at home, or in some cases at second base too. We're going to work with our cutoff position and situation here, and I want to show you how we like to set up making the cutoff on a throw from the outfield. Tommy's going to help me here. The first thing that we want to make sure that we do is get ourselves positioned such that we're facing the infielder who's throwing to us. We want him to get a good look at who he's supposed to throw to. We assist ourselves by raising our hands. So Tommy's going to raise his hands here, and now our outfielder is certain where he's supposed to throw the ball. Tommy's job at this point is to get himself positioned in such a fashion as to be able to catch the ball on his glove side with two hands and get rid of it. So what we want Tom to do is when the ball comes to him, if he reads it and it's a good throw, he's going to begin to turn his body this way. He's going to catch the ball on the side of his body, on his glove side, with two hands, catch it, and now he'll be ready to make the throw. If we take the throw this way, catch it here, now we have to turn all the way around and throw it. And again, I cannot impress upon you enough the fact that for every step you take, base runner gets two, six extra feet. So cut out the number of steps once you read the good throw. If he receives a poor throw, he can move his feet either direction and still be able to make the catch and hopefully make a throw. Had to move his feet, got himself set. Very nice, very nice. Notice how he had to shuffle to the right a little bit to be able to make that play. There he got a good throw, opened his body, and feeds on in. We can even work the cutoff responsibilities and techniques by ourselves if we like. Throw's coming straight at us. We're going to work on turning our body, make the catch with two hands, right into our good throw. Situation we're in right now, we've asked the second baseman to move up into position. This would typically be done in a first and third situation where your second baseman slides forward and your shortstop covers the bag. And in essence, what we're going to do is when the throw passes the second baseman, if it's a good throw, he's going to pop his glove and act as if he caught it. And what we're trying to do is to freeze the runner off third base long enough to make the tag play at second and return the throw home. Okay, fellas, let's take a look at it. Watch the second baseman slide up in front. He's going to pop the glove and he's going to yell go as the ball passes him. Shortstop will make the tag. Here they go. Good. Now, see, as the ball went by, even though it bounced in the dirt, it's tough for the runner because all he heard was a pop of the glove and a yell of go. Right again. Second baseman breaks front, hits his glove, sets himself like he's going to make the throw, and all we have to do is hesitate that runner on third just a split second, and we've got enough arm strength at short to make the throw home and double that runner up. We're going to work on our dive play. Dive play is a situation where you're asking an infielder to make a tremendous or an outstanding play. And the only way to do that is to be able to get up off your feet after you've made the dive and get the ball on its way. So what we're going to work on is our reaction time in terms of getting up. Adam's going to work with us. He's going to be working to his left on the dive. And the job for him is to stretch it out, pop up, and square himself to first base as quick as we can. It's a workout that he can do on his own just to work his reaction time. You can work with a number of players if you like. If you got 8 or 10, it's very fast-paced, fast-moving. It all depends on how you like it. Let's take a look. Get it? Dive. Good. Very nice. Go. Stretch it out. Hop up. Good. He's really working hard on getting back to his feet. Creep. Get it. Good. Get up. Get up. Get up. That's it. Creep. Stretch it out. Get up. Make the throw. We're going to work some simple pickoff plays. We're going to talk about three different ones today. I know there are a multitude of pickoff plays you can do and certainly ones you'd like to incorporate into your practice. But we try to keep it as simple as we can and get good at what we do, and hopefully we can at least hold people close. That's the ultimate goal, is just not allowing them to get a big jump. The first pickoff play we're going to do is what we call daylight. And daylight would be where a fielder, in this case, Brent, who's playing short, would get an opening, get behind the runner, and have actual daylight between where I would be and where he's at. He'll hold his glove out. If the pitcher feels like he's got an opening here, he'll go ahead, break to the bag, and try to beat me there with the throw. All right, fellas, the sort of daylight. We'll start with Brent this way. Boom. And he's got me. If he feels like he's got an opening, great, he'll take it. Now we'll run it with Kurt. We'll run it to second base. And boy, they got to break hard to the bag because they got to try to beat me here. Bang. And he's there and ready to make the play. Second pickoff play we're going to talk about is a timing play. And it's a play that we're going to set up either from the infielder, the pitcher, or even the catcher can get involved and call it. If we feel like we've got an opening with the base runner and we want to run a set pickoff, we're going to again give a sign, and you can do it however you like. We just pick here or pick along the pants or pull the ear, anything that will allow the pitcher and the infielders to know that we got a pickoff going, and we're going to run it that way. Here's the timing setup. The pitcher's going to come into a stretch position. He's going to come set. Adam, if you would, let's come set. He's going to come set. He'll look back at the bag. He'll look home. When he looks home, he's going to count 1-1000, 2-1000. He'll wheel and throw. At the same instant he looks home, the middle infielders will count 1-1000 and they'll run and break to the bag. Okay? So we can pick either one. They can work that out amongst themselves, or we can set that up as coaches however we like it. So it's for Adam, the pitcher, it's 1-1000, 2-1000, turn and throw. For the infielders, it's 1-1000 and they'll break to the bag. Let's try one, fellas. Adam gives his sign back. He'll look back to second. He looks back, 1-1000, 2-1000. He turns and throws, okay? Hopefully, if we've got a nice, quiet shortstop or second baseman, they can slide back in behind. Maybe we even catch a coach sleeping a little bit. Who knows? Adam picks along the pant leg, looks back, starts his count. Back they go, and we're there to get him. The third and final pickoff that we're going to do involves just a little bit of additional help from the shortstop. It's a timing play again for the pitcher. Actually, the responsibility of the pitcher stays exactly the same. He'll look back, count 1-1000, 2-1000, and then he'll go wheel and throw. His responsibilities don't change at all. However, the middle infielder's responsibilities do. Once the pitcher looks home, shortstop's going to start right in behind me, and he's going to freeze me right here. When he comes around me, the instant he comes around, second baseman's going to slide in. He's going to hesitate me 1 second. I'm going to hold, second baseman slides in behind, and they'll make the throw. Again, the pitcher's responsibilities are the same. It's the middle infielders that change just a little bit. Okay, fellas, let's make sure we put it on. Adam picks the leg, let us know it's going. Here comes the shortstop. I heard him. You see, I held up when he got close to me. Always remember that anytime you get ready to throw, you must first have gone through a thorough stretching program. We're going to work with some of our younger players here in terms of the throwing, but even younger players need to go through stretching. You're going to reach a point where your muscles have developed to the degree that if you don't get stretched properly and go through a thorough stretching program, you're going to end up hurting yourself. You're born knowing how to throw with one arm, at least most people, and unless you can trade that in for a better one, you better take care of the one that you have. Now, the good thing about working with young players in terms of proper throwing technique is they haven't necessarily learned any good habits or any bad habits. In many cases, they don't really have a habit. If you can get one young enough where you can teach them the proper technique, you can sure help their arm. If you wait till they're 15 or 16 years old, it's too late, really, and one in 100 is going to be able to make a change to noticeably improve what they're doing to be able to play at a higher level. It has to be done 8, 9, 10 years old, and it has to be worked through. So we're going to work with our younger infielders and make sure that they know how to do it right. Okay, we always want to make sure we take a four-seam grip when we grip the ball. Tom, if you would, hold out a little bit. Four seams across the seams, all right, hands together in front of the chest. An infielder takes what we call a short arm circle. A short arm circle involves never dropping his hand below his waist. We don't want to drop it down in here. That's an outfielder or a pitcher. And we don't want to come here with the elbows. That's a catcher. We want to go short arm circle, give him a chance to gain just a little bit of arm velocity, and yet still make a nice rapid throw wherever he needs to go with it. Okay? That's throwing the ball. Receiving the ball. We want to make sure when we receive the ball that we show our partner our box or our window here. Feet are spread, knees bent just a little bit, and we always want to anticipate a poor throw. If the ball moves Tommy to his right, he just slides his feet and stays in front of the ball. Okay? If the ball moves him to his left, slides his feet, stays in front of the ball. Above the waist, we're going to use the thumbs coming together to catch it, trap it in. Below the waist, pinkies come together and we trap it in this way. Always using two hands. Take a little pride in the way that you throw. You can actually get something out of this. And I don't care how old the kids are. If they're 8 years old, make them do it right. Because the more you emphasize the right way to do things, the faster it's going to become a habit for any player that you have. Okay, fellas, let's go ahead and get loose. Always anticipate the bad throw. Hands up, catch them with two hands. Notice how they step right to left, left to right. Very nice. That's it. Two hands all the time. They're getting themselves loose. They're not just getting loose here. They're learning how to catch the ball in game situation. Notice how they do it right every time. Very little sense in throwing and not working your technique. You can do both at the same time. The way that you throw and the way that you begin prior to the practice and prior to your game is the tempo that you're going to set for the rest of the day. If you're a coach or a parent, demand, don't ask, demand that they do it right. And if that means you have to go down the line with them to get it done, fine, then go down the line with them. But make sure they're throwing and catching the way it needs to be done. Because I'll tell you something, games generally aren't won by overpowering people. They're lost, and they're lost because you can't pick up a ball, you can't throw the ball, you can't throw a strike. This is where you learn how to win ball games, right here. three-part throwing drill is a drill that allows us to isolate parts of the throwing technique at a time and put it back together in some meaningful fashion. You'd be surprised how many older players need some help with their technique in throwing. We just want to take advantage of what we have. If we can pick up a couple miles an hour by gripping the ball right, if we can pick up a couple miles an hour by making sure we get a good glove tuck, we want to do that. And by slowing things down, backing up, and doing it one at a time, it allows us to be able to do that. Brian's going to help me here with regard to our technique. So this is our break position. You'll notice that we're into the scarecrow position with the arms. This arm's out and flexed just a little bit. This arm's flexed just a little bit. Fingers are on top of the ball. Glove is turned and facing away. This is going to allow us to isolate and work just strictly on the glove tuck, which if you watch players, if you go to a Little League diamond, or if you go to a high school field and you watch how many give you a glove tuck, bring that glove back into the body, you're going to find less than half do it properly, maybe even less than that depending on where you're at. So this is our chance to teach how to do that. And we do this with high school players. It's great to do with 8, 9, 10-year-old kids. This is our break position again. Break, Brian. That's our break. And from here, I'm just going to say throw. When I say throw, Brian's going to bring that glove back to his chest. He's going to get the arm into a 90-degree angle and make the throw to his partner. Ready? Throw. And you'll notice that he gets a nice follow-through. He's going to finish up. Okay, feet spread, at least shoulder width apart. Break. Throw. Notice his grip on the ball. Break. His fingers are on top of the ball. He also has a four-seam grip. Throw. Tucks the glove and a nice follow-through. Break. Throw. Again, we're just isolating that glove and allowing it to come back into the body. That's an extra 2 to 4 miles per hour if you learn how to do that properly as opposed to if you don't do it at all. Break. Throw. We also want to make sure that Brian's looking down the gun barrel. He's got that glove pointed directly at his partner, and that's going to increase his accuracy when he does release the ball, not to mention the velocity he's going to pick up with that glove tuck. A part two of the drill will be to take it from the break position and work backwards. We're going to work to what we call a ready position. Hands in front of the chest, hands here. When I say break, we're going to take a small step with our front foot, and we're going to split our hands back into that scarecrow position. Break, throw. So what we're doing is just inching our way back to a normal throw. Ready, break, throw. And a nice follow through. Ready, break, throw. The third and final portion of this drill is what we call ready and throw. We're going to put the whole thing back together again without any stops. There'll be no stop in between, no break position on this one. He'll go back through the glove tuck, but he's not going to stop this time. Ready, throw, out and back in a nice normal throwing technique. This is a great way to teach young players how to put their throwing technique together one step at a time. Ready, throw, out and back. Again, we want the players concentrating on getting that glove facing backwards and making sure they pull back hard to allow their arm to increase the velocity. Ready? Throw. Very nice. Again, step-by-step approach teaching people how to throw the ball properly. And although the technique may differ from position to position, the drill never changes. And we can work regardless of whether you got a catcher throwing the way he throws or an outfielder like Brian throwing the way he throws. We can all do it together and all do it at the same time to help teach that glove tuck, a nice release with the hands to make sure that the technique we hold the ball with is what we need, and to put that whole thing back together step by step. Fielding a ground ball. We do it at high school, we do it at the college level, we do it with Little League players, you can do it with whomever you have, but it's important that they understand exactly what they're supposed to do. Part number one, we ask that our infielders, Brent's going to help me, we ask that our infielders get some momentum or some movement. We call this a creep step. For a right-handed infielder, it's nothing more than taking a small step with his right foot, small step left foot, and opening his hands. You ready? Creep. Right, left, open. He's in position right now to run to his left. He can run to his right. He can go backwards. He can go forward at a dead sprint. Doesn't need to stop. Doesn't need to stand up, drop down. He's whatever he needs to go, wherever he needs to go, he's in position to do it. After he gets his creep steps, part number two, we charge the ball. Rarely in a high school setting or below do you have a situation where you don't charge a ground ball. When you get to college and they hit a little bit harder, or if you happen to be a high school third baseman where you're real tight on the play, that's a little bit different, or first base for that matter. But for the most part, you're going to charge the ball. Okay, we're going to add. We're just going to do building block. We're going to go creep, and then we're going to add in a charge. Ready? Creep, charge, stop. Okay, all right, back up, Brent. On the charge, we want to come at the ball under control as quickly as we can. We don't want to overrun the ball, because when we get there, we have to set up to field the ground ball. All right, we're going to add in part three. So we got creep and charge so far. Part three is what we call our breakdown position. That's our position in which we're going to begin to field the ball. Okay, ready? Creep, charge, breakdown. On our breakdown, you'll notice that Brent has his feet a little wider than shoulder width. His head's down. We're going to show the top of the hat. His right hand is on top, his glove's on the ground, and it's extended in front of him. Okay, stand up and relax. It's important that we extend the glove in front of us so that we can cradle the ball or cushion it as it comes to us. And we go right hand on top for this simple reason. Those of you that played in the infield recognize this is a problem. When we're playing with little guys, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, the normal reaction to a ground ball coming at you is to do this. We turn the head. Well, the reason we turn heads is because we're afraid we're going to get hit in the face. I think everybody has that fear, at least at some point in their life. I know I sure did. In order to correct that fear or to take care of it, we take the right hand and put it on top this way. If we happen to get a bad hop, we can take the hand and keep that ball away from our face. The second thing that that does is it allows us to trap the ball in the glove. We call that our alligator right here. That's our alligator. Bad hop, hand comes up, good hop, alligator. Part four, we're going to go from our breakdown to a fielding position. Ready? Creep, charge, breakdown. He'll hold it. Now I'm comfortable with his technique. Field. He'll bring the ball to his midsection. He'll cradle the ball in, and he's going to show me the top of his cap. Okay, relax. Simple enough. Now we go part five, which is our throw. Okay? And this is exactly how we teach it. Ready? Creep, charge, breakdown, field, throw. Right to left, left to right. Back up. So the fifth part, we're going to take that right foot and we're going to step inside the left, square our shoulder to our target, shoulder, hip, and knee, and make our good strong throw. I can do this with 15 kids, one player, 10, it doesn't make any difference. I can do it just like this. Ready? Creep, charge, breakdown, field, throw. Very nice. Let's do it one more time. Creep, charge, breakdown, field, throw. Okay, good enough, Brent. As I tell outfielders or any position on the infield, anytime that you take a step more than you need to in order to get the ball out of your glove or to do whatever it is you have to do, you're giving the base runner two steps. Two steps to a base runner, especially at the high school level, equates to at least 6 feet. And boy, that's something you don't want to do. How many plays do you see at first base that are closer than 6 feet? The first drill we're going to do is what we call chop steps. This is our effort to make sure that the kid's technique, right, left, backward, at an angle, is always good and always what we need. We don't want to take any extra steps, because when a ball's hard hit and it's to the right or to the left, we got to get there and get there in a hurry. So Mark's going to head them through the chop steps, and I'll comment as they get going. Go ahead, Coach.
Creep. Chop.
Notice how they move their feet and they're into their breakdown position. The nice backhand.
Creep. Chop.
Now they're going to go to the crossover step, getting the nice breakdown position, making sure that the head down, watching the ball in.
Good.
They come back. You can do this with any number of players that you have, whether it's 4 or 8 or 10 or however many you can.
Chop.
Now we got a ball a little deeper in the hole. They're going to take an angle on it.
Good.
Notice how their heads are down, the gloves open. Want to make sure we follow the good technique rules on our backhand.
Creep. Chop. Good.
Good. See how they set up at the same time. Footwork's always the same. Even though we got some different age groups kids, they're still setting up at the same time.
Creep. Chop. Good.
Charge the ball. We run through these 5 rotations, to the right, to the left, backward angle right, backward angle left, and then forward for the ball that's coming right at us. It's a chop step drill. We start out each practice with it. If it's just a couple minutes a day, boy, it's a good reminder for kids and how they're supposed to move to the ball. We're going to do here. We're just going to take a ground ball and roll it and make sure that our technique is good. And the way that the coach is going to ensure that is he's going to have them to stop when they get into their breakdown position and hold it for 1 second. If there are any problems with it, he can at that point instruct what we need to do different, and then he'll say go. And when he says go, then they'll go ahead and feed the ball back. You can go 2 lines of this, 3 lines. We'll go just 1 line today, but you can set up however many you like depending on how many people you have to help. Okay, coach.
Great. Stop.
Notice how he stops.
Go.
Shows a button on the cap. Next guy comes up.
Creep. Stop. Go.
When he says go, they're free to release and throw the ball back.
Creep. Stop. Go.
They stop themselves in their funnel position.
Stop. Go.
Look at the hands extended out in front. Anytime you bobble the ball can run up the arm and you can trap it in the chest, and at least we have an opportunity to throw somebody out. The hands have to be extended and out in front.
Great. Go.
We'll be right back. This is our Texas Leaguer drill. This is a drill that helps us improve our foot quickness in terms of going after balls that are behind us, whether it's to our right, to our left, straight back, doesn't make any difference. Anytime that you can force somebody to move as fast as possible in a drill, it's going to simulate what happens in a game. You get a ball hit down a left field line, down a right field line, where an infielder has to really charge hard to go get it. The important thing here is not to take any wasted steps. If the ball's hit over your right shoulder, you want to drop step to your right side, and you'll see the guys do it in just a minute. Ball's hit left, you stop, step left. If you end up taking extra steps, it's going to cost you in terms of being able to get to a ball and either catch it or set up and catch it properly. We don't want to have to make it any tougher than it's absolutely necessary. Coach is going to start us here, and we're going to watch the guys. They'll start out pretty easy.
Mind, mind, mind.
They'll call everything. We call it again, mind, 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 in everything that we do.
Mind, mind, mind.
Tommy took the wrong step one direction. We can make that adjustment. Perfectly all right. You're going to see that happen consistently. That's why we do it.
Mind, mind, mind.
You'll find that if you'll just hesitate long enough to ensure that you go the right direction, you actually get to the ball faster than if you take off running and go the wrong way. Try our best, and our challenge is to go the right direction. Notice how Adam dropped step to the right and went and got it. As they get decent at it, we're going to stretch them out a little bit. Anytime we go to the right side for a right-handed infielder, we want to go backhand.
My, my, my.
Texas Leaguer drill, push them as hard as you can, make them work, and boy, I tell you what, by making them work, they're going to get the balls that you didn't believe that they could ever get to. If you just cut out the number of steps that are unnecessary, put in only the necessary steps, move as hard as you can on a daily basis in practice, either with your team or individually, boy, we're going to get a lot better on these balls, no question about it. Drill by yourself, mom or dad or somebody else comes out and works it with you. We like to work as much game simulation as we possibly can, so I'm going to have Adam drop down into a fielding position and start from there. Here we go.
Flip.
Flip. That's it. He's calling the flip to me just to remind me that it's coming from that direction.
Flip.
So he's starting down just like he's fielding the ground ball. He's going to get it right to me.
Flip.
He's calling flip every play. That's it. All right, shorten up a little bit. Now we're coming in a little tighter.
Flip.
Flip. You got to hang it up a little higher for your partner. You don't need to knock him over on this.
Flip.
The ball.
Flip.
Backhand flip. Notice how his hand comes up in the chest. He's got to put a little something on it.
Flip.
Boom. So I don't get killed. Be it whether I'm a pitcher, feeling the ball here at first, if that happens, or a middle infielder, or even a third baseman that may have to flip on a squeeze bunt at the plate. Lends itself very nicely to working by yourself. Recruit someone from your family, a teammate, a coach, anybody you can to get this done. These are the little things that separate you from everyone else. You know, ordinary players are a dime a dozen. I can go out to any high school field in the country and find an ordinary player. You need to be that special player, and a special player is a guy that's going to go out and do this on a daily basis. All right, forehand flip. Here we go. Good, then you have to flip. There you go. Make him work. Good. Brent makes a catch. Good. Nice stop. If I don't push him a little bit, I'm not doing him any favors. He wants to be a better player, and the only way to do that is make him work. Okay, one more forehand. Tough one. That's all right. Backhand. Now we're going backhand. Good. See how quick his hand moved? tough hop. Good, ball stayed low to the ground, he still made the play. Brent's done this a time or two, he's pretty good at it. That's it. Good. See, on even on a tough hop, he's still able to get to it. Your hands have to move independent of the rest of your body. If you've got to stop and think about where the glove's going to go on a backhand, you're sunk, it's too late. And you can get to the point where you can feel the backhand and forehand short hop like Brent does, we're in pretty good shape. Do is want to find a wall. We just picked the back of the dugout. You can pick a wall at home, a school building, wherever. You're not going to tear anything up, a side of an old barn, whatever you like, and work them off the wall. What we're going to ask Tommy to do is to get about 10 feet away from the wall. I'm going to stand right behind him, and when I throw the ball, I'm going to call ball. Any ball that goes to Tom's right, I want him to backhand. Any ball to his left, he's got to slide his feet and take forehand. We want him to start out low. Go ahead, Tom, get ready. He's starting low with his hands separate. If he doesn't do that, he's not going to be able to field any of these. Here we go. Ready? Ball. If you can get a real bouncy ball, it'll come off that wall in a hurry. Ball. Okay. Backhand on that ball to the right. Backhand. Ready? Ball. Good, good hand. See how he cradled it in? Ball. Good. See how he moved his feet? Hands, ball came right up and he went right up with it. Gonna get a little tougher now. Ball. Good. Got a little older player in Adam here. We're gonna make him work just a little bit harder. Again, anything to the backhand side, to the right for him, we want to take it. Be light on your feet. Here we go. Ready? Ball. Good. See how he cradled that ball? He smothered it. This is just like a short hop or a tough ground ball. Ball. Stay down. Ready? Ball. You can have a gold glove competition with this. Line up your entire team. If you drop the ball, bobble it, hits the ground, you're out. And go until you got one person left. Ready? Ball. Good. See how he moved his feet? Ball. Good. If he can square it up, great. Ball. If you can field a ball that somebody can throw from behind you as hard as they can, I'll guarantee you can field the ball in the game. If you can make your hands move faster than they're ever going to be required to in a game, without question, you're going to be as good as you need to be if you'll work at it a little bit. And the nice thing about this drill is it's fun. It's fast-paced. You can make it a competition very easily, either for yourself. I can remember growing up as a little kid and I had a black spongy rubber ball, and that wall at the front of the house took a beating because I just kept throwing it and throwing it and throwing it. And the closer you get, the faster you move. You can do this by yourself. Adam can take this ball and throw it up on the wall and work himself to the right, to the left, in front of him, whatever you have to do. Make it fun, make it enjoyable, but make it effective.